Voices of Hope is a podcast of New Hope Presbyterian Church in Castle Rock, Colorado. You can listen to our sermons and other podcasts on iTunes, Spotify, Google Podcasts, or any popular podcasting platform. Join us for our Sunday worship services at 9 and 10:45 a.m. on Sundays, with a fellowship time with coffee and donuts in between services from 10 to 10:30. We'll see you there. This week, Pastor Russ brings us a sermon titled The Good Life from Ephesians 2, 8 through 10.
So this morning, I want to begin to talk this month, a theme around doing good. I know that seems like a no-brainer for churches, that a church would talk about doing good, but actually it's much more difficult than it seems, partly because we're not always sure what good is. We have this definition of good, and we can't even always agree on what is good, right? It's good when my team wins. Sorry about your team. It's good when the hail destroys my neighbor's roof, but not mine. So it gets a little tricky, right? We define good in different ways. We define good and good people differently as well. We could say part of the good people, like it's a club, but then there are certain things that happen to people, and then they're voted out of the club. It used to be, and in some places still is true, that you get voted out of the good people club if you are divorced. You can't be part of that group anymore because you're not good. You get voted out in some places if you smoke or you drink, because that's not what good people do. The old thing, you know, the old statement about good girls is when they're looking for someone, they don't drink, they don't smoke, they don't chew, and they don't go out with boys that do. That's good, right? But it changes. You can still be in the good club if you don't drink or smoke, but you can be greedy and selfish and envious. Somehow those are still okay in some circles. So it gets a little tricky, right? But that's not the hardest part. The hardest part about good is this. And the hardest part is that, you know, I think the biggest assault on good is this, that it is, the question is first and foremost, isn't just what is good, but what good is good? There's a suspicion that what we used to think of as good isn't all that important anymore. And in fact, in the church especially, there's this suspicion about good. Because there's this idea of, and you've heard it perhaps in your circles, I certainly heard it growing up and I still hear it today. You know, Russ, being good won't get you into heaven. You can't be good enough for heaven. So good is okay, but it's not great. And in fact, sometimes it comes across as being good's a little naive, because there's so much terrible stuff in the world, and you know you're never going to be able to bring that kind of change in the world. So it's a little naive to be giving yourself to so much good. In fact, in some places it's almost considered anti-God. It was in the last 3 weeks, we were talking. Not in this church, I'm happy to say. But somebody was talking, we were talking about some of the problems, and the comment was, to finish the sentence was in the conversation, well, you know, it's all going to burn anyway. Praise be to God. I mean, that's how it was. You know, it's just all going to burn, and at the end of it all, God's going to bring it all together. I remember having conversations with people when we were talking about ethics, and somebody said, what's the point? If it's all going to come to a crashing close anyway. Shouldn't we be okay with the fact that all these things are going to happen? It just means that Jesus is coming sooner. So that by doing good is I'm trying to not only push against the river, but I am, and the inevitable, I am pushing against what God is inevitably wanting to do. Sometimes it's even anti-gospel, because by being good, maybe I am trying to substitute for grace. Not that long ago, in the community, I was talking and hearing, and somebody was talking about New Hope, and they said, oh, that's a do-gooder church, but they don't really talk about the gospel, as if the gospel and doing good were two different things. So good has a hard time sometimes, and sometimes it's the church itself. And I know what they're talking about. I know it. Maybe you were one of those people too who, when they memorized scripture, one of those scriptures you memorized was Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, where it says, because it's by grace that you've been saved through faith and not by anything of your own, not by anything of your own. It's a gift from God, not by anything that you have done, so no one gets to claim credit. Those were verses in one version or another that I got to memorize. Perhaps you did too. This was part of presenting the gospel. Listen, it's all grace, and there's nothing you can do, and because if you try to do it, you're going to go against grace, and in fact, it gets a little prideful. So just remember, it's all about grace. So somehow by doing good, we are doing something that is anti-gospel. So I want to do something radical today, and I don't want to make a radical statement. Sometimes we talk about radical things, and we talk about controversial things. We have a group talking about race this afternoon. We have talked about sexuality around here. So let me add one more, which may even be more radical. Good is good. I'll pause so you can write that down in your notes. I know that's, I'll give you a moment. And that's more than just tongue-in-cheek, because there is something I want to reclaim about this idea of good and goodness and being good. There is something that is essentially wonderful, and it is godly. It is not anti-gospel, and I believe that there, at the heart of all this misunderstanding, are two misunderstandings, two misconceptions, and I want to address them. And the first one has to do with what is the nature of good in the first place. Good sometimes can be defined by myself. But in the Bible, it has different ways. Now, there are different words for good in the Bible. In the Old Testament, the word for in good in Hebrew is tob. So if your name is Toby or Tobin, you're good. That's really what it means. In Greek, in our New Testament, agathos is one of the words for good. So if you are someone who's named Agatha, you're good. Kalos is one of those words. So Kaylee, Kelly, Katie, all those things are good. And then there's one called Arita, Arita. So Ariel, Ari, and Aretha are good. Anybody who's listened to Aretha says, that's good, right? I mean, but the word good, our word good, comes from something I think is very telling. And it comes from the word God. When the English language was being put together, they substituted the word God and good. When you're saying good day to somebody, you're saying, in essence, God bless your day. When we have Good Friday, it's not because it's a great day. It's the worst of all possible days, but it's God's Friday. This is the day that God took control and conquered sin, sickness, and death on the cross. It's God's day. When we come together and we look at creation, every day at the end of it, God says, it's good. It's good. It's got my fingerprints on it. It is the essence of who I am. And the creation isn't a finished thing. It's ongoing. And so God creates trees, and then trees get to create more trees. God creates fish, and they get to create more fish. And God creates people, and there's more people and more flowers. It just creates, and it's the essence of who God is, and it begins to grow, and it becomes the essence, and it becomes the agent of the God who's still creating and still redeeming. It's good. It's of God. And you know what else is good is you and me. When God created humans, God says at the end of that day, and it was very good. But more than that part of the creation that keeps creating, and we are not only bear the fingerprints and the DNA of God, we are the agents of God in this world. And where I find that is that same verse that I was taught, maybe you were taught, and I was only taught it up until verse 8 and 9, and it's in your bulletin. And I remember the first time I actually went and read it beyond a flashcard, and I was reading it in the Bible, and it was, oh my goodness, look at this. It was not only because it's by grace that you've been saved through faith, not by anything of your own. Not only is it a gift from God, and nothing I've done and nothing that I can take credit for, but the very next verse says, we are God's work of art, created in Christ Jesus for the good works which God has already designated to make up our way of life. The way of life is a way of extending the essence of God. It is a way of extending the imprint of God, the creating, the redeeming work. That's why we were created in the first place. And I remember the first time I read this verse, it's like, who kept this from me? Why did we talk so much about grace as if there's nothing I can do when, in fact, the grace was the foundation upon which then, now let's get on with who you are and what you're supposed to be doing. It's not an antithesis of doing good and talking about grace. The gospel and doing good. The gospel is that we are created and it's all by grace. And by grace, we get to extend and be the essence and extend what God is doing in this world. That is the good news. We get to not only partake of, but participate in the ongoing goodness and creation of God. And that's what we are invited to. It is this word, work of art, that some versions will translate as masterpiece or masterwork or handiwork, and it all has to do with not only catching the blessing of God and the validation of who we are, but it's our charge, it's our job description to extend that. And that's why Teresa of Avila, in the last century, into the century before and into the next century, had it so right when she was able to say, Christ now has no body but yours, no hands, no feet on earth but yours. Yours are the hands which he blesses all the world. It is this wonderful quote. It goes on for about a paragraph. I invite you to look it up. It is this wonderful thing to say, no, you see, that's who you are. We are the extension of Christ. We are the hands. We are the feet. We are the eyes. We're the heart. We're the very presence of God. That's the good news. That God is continuing to work in this world in and through those. And by faith, we receive that. And by faith, we get to live into that. Jesus anticipated the same when he was telling his disciples. He says, look, anyone who's going to follow me, you're going to do more than I did. Which seems crazy. We're not going to feed 5,000 people with two loaves and fishes. No, but the followers of Christ have fed billions in his name. We're not going to heal the person who's right in front of us miraculously, most of us. But the hospitals and the teaching institutions and the care have cured billions of people. And the same for those who are lonely, and the same for those who are orphans, and the same for those who are on the outside, and the same for extending compassion. The miracles of Jesus not only validated his credentials as the one who is divine, the fingerprint and the DNA of God dwells in him. It is also the marching orders and points the way and the path for all those who are to follow. This is the work that you're to do. Because we were created to do the good works which God has already arranged to make up our way of life. This isn't presuming to be God. This is growing up to be fully human. For this is who we are and this is who we were created to be. It is when we misunderstand the word good as if somehow it could exist somehow outside of itself, as if it isn't an extension and bearing the very essence of God, that we get into trouble. So we can even talk about the good life. And the good life, when we talk about the good life, it's in different places and different times. Usually around here, it means you are financially independent and vulnerable. You have a house with a great view and you don't have a lot of those noisy, nuisancey neighbors, and yet you're part of a great close community. Where you would live in a place that has the lowest tax rates in the country and yet has the best streets, the best police, best fire, best schools, best everything. Your team always wins. Your political party always wins. Your candidate always wins. And when they win, they always keep all their promises. And so they do exactly what they said. And the world is as it should be. And your 401k always goes up. And that's the good life. And what it really means is it's good for me. Because I have become my ultimate concern. And so anything that's good is good for me. Me, my family, my tribe, my party, my nation. And so the misrepresentation is that the ultimate concern is God. And so what good may be may not always be comfortable for me. It may mean me sacrificing myself, giving myself away. so that the essence and the ongoing creation of God can continue, which gets to the second misconception, which is you can't work your way into heaven. And I just contend that's just the wrong question. If you start with the wrong question, you can never get the right answer. And there are people, and there are volumes and bookshelves full of people who have given extraordinary answers to the wrong question, because they believe the question is, what do I need to do so that when I die, I get to go to heaven? And so they'll explain this, and that's why they cut verses in half so that it fits in with what they're talking about. But the question isn't that. The question is, and the question that we pray for every Sunday, and we will do so again at the end of this service, is in the Lord's Prayer. How do we get heaven here? How do we take the things that God has already done, and how do we extend that goodness and that grace here on earth as it is in heaven? And if that's the right question, then that means that you and I have something to do. It means that our good works do matter. They do mean something, and they have validity, and they are part of what we are growing into. So this week, I've got a couple things I want to hold up. I want to hold up this quote from Wesley that I think is a wonderful quote. Do all the good you can, by all the means you can, in all the ways you can, in all the places you can, to all the people you can, as long as you ever can. That's not a bad one. Likewise, I would invite you to take on a couple other things this month. And the first is this, and the practice for October is this. I want to build this into who we are. I want you to commit yourself to this week daily doing acts of kindness and gratitude and service. I'm not talking about feeding the world and changing and getting rid of diphtheria. I'm talking about the little acts that extend you beyond yourself, the acts of kindness, of being a little kinder than you normally would. Saying thank you and acknowledging the goodness of others a little more than you normally would. Serving, maybe doing what you've always done, but do it with a little bit of different attitude than you normally would. And nobody else may even notice, but you will, and that's the point. Because this is what's drawing you out into this world of doing the good that you and I have been given to do. And then I want to encourage us to encourage one another. So when you go out beyond the name tag table, there's this table, and it's called the Doing Good Wall. And you're going to see it. It's down the prayer walk. And on one side is the Habitat for Humanity, which is one way of doing good. And we're going to take the offering for that next week. That's a way of doing good. But this is a way of catching and noticing and acknowledging and celebrating the good that others have done. I'm going to invite you, as you go down, is to take one of these throughout this month and write just the first name of somebody that you want to celebrate, and maybe just a few words of what it is that they did. And then you'll notice this very lovely chicken wire that has been stuck against the wall with these clothespins. And what that's for is so that you can take a clothespin, clip it, and put it on there. Now somebody says, what if we don't have enough clothespins? What a wonderful problem that will be. Don't worry, we'll find more. Because the whole point of this, as the month goes on, is to see the cumulative effect of the very small acts of goodness and kindness and gratitude. And as they begin to build, just to watch it just start to cover a wall. Now, there's three things that you can't do. All right, so the rules are this. No staff. No sports. No politics. Everything else is fair game. If you can acknowledge people in the congregation, great. If it's somebody who we don't even know, that's great too. Because it's a way of saying, oh, look at all the good that's going on. Let's celebrate that. Let's encourage that. Let's acknowledge that. And let's own that as something that is good for God. And then I would invite you to memorize this verse that's in front of us. That's in your path, in your book. We've got little cards. You can read it on your own. Do use your own version if you want. We're God's work of art created in Christ Jesus for the good works which God has already designated to make up our way of life. I think there's power in memorizing, and I would invite you to do that. Now, this may seem like a to-do list, and I don't mean it to do that, but I do mean this to be a to-be list. Because this isn't to make us busier. This is to make us more fully human. And this is who we are called to be. Friends, we have been called to be the hands and the feet and the very essence and presence of God. We are the extension of God's grace. We're the agents of God's continuing work. that God has given us to do. We are created by grace, and we have been saved by grace. We had nothing to do with any of that, so that we can get on with what we were called to do. Because you are God's work of art. You are God's work of art, and you were created in Christ Jesus for the good works which God has already designated to be our way of life. Amen. Amen.
Thank you for listening to Voices of Hope. And if you enjoy our podcast, please rate and review us, share with your friends, and we will see you next time.